Let's get ready to talk Dolphins football. It's the Sports Grill Miami Dolphins Report with Sports Illustrated's Alan Poupard. With locations throughout South Florida, Sports Grill is the home of the special grilled wings. Check out our sponsored locations in Miami on Bird Road and 114th and in Miami Lakes in the Royal Oaks Plaza. Here's Miami Dolphins insider, Alan Poupard.
I saved the reel open because then I knew that he was there, finally. What happened, bro? You were a black bear in the darkness there. What was going on?
Having problems with technology this week. But, is not having my face on there really that bad a thing?
Well, no, listen, I don't know. The ladies seem to line up every time you're on. So I don't know what to say, bro. I know you're married and all that, and you might get in trouble here. But, I mean, the chat board is loaded up with women every time Alan Poupard shows up. Yeah, especially when sometimes I put out that picture of yours from like the 80s, then they really freak out when they see that picture. So, yeah. Yeah, it just happens.
That's funny.
That's it.
That's some funny stuff, dude.
All right. Well, hey, man, you're a magnet. What can I tell you, bro? I mean, you know, it is what
sure,
it is.
I know. It's a burden.
I was talking to Sports Grill. I said, listen, let's get Alan because he's a chick magnet. And so you guys want to actually, you know, increase the women that go to Sports Grill. Alan Poupard is the guy. And so, you know, you've got that touch, bro. What can I say?
Funny stuff.
All right. So talk to us. What did you witness today in practice since you are our eyes and ears today in Miami?
Yeah, there's nothing to see. I actually couldn't go today. I went yesterday, and it's a mini camp. We're allowed to watch the first 25 minutes. And then in those 25 minutes, it's calisthenics, stretching, and then some position drills, where you see linebackers on tackling dummies, DBs backpedaling, and then you'll have the most intense action you'll get is a quarterback throwing some passes to wide receivers. So there is really nothing. If you want some observations, I'll give you two of them.
Nothing changes in 25 years.
No, but sometimes there have been occasions when the rookie minicamp has been open in its entirety, and you still can't glean a whole lot from it. So I'll give you two observations. Is number one, based on the three throws where I was really zoning in on Skylar Thompson, the arm doesn't look anything special. And Channing Tindall, when he came in the interview room to do interviews yesterday, looked kind of smallish to all of us. Those are the two main observations.
Okay. All right. Zach Thomas was smallish too.
No, Zach Thomas was short, and he was wide. Channing Tindall is not short. He's kind of lean. He'd look more like a DB or a wide receiver than he does a linebacker.
He looks more safety than linebacker is what you're saying, actually? Because, I mean, DB yes. would be pretty bad, bro.
Well, yeah, safety. Safety is a DB, so yeah, safety.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, you know, safety, you expect a little more meat on the bone there. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
What was the name of that Cincinnati safety that was freaking enormous?
David Fulcher.
Yeah, remember that guy?
He was huge.
Huge.
He was a very good player.
Very good player. Hell of an athlete for that size, bro. David Fulcher. Yep. Nice job by you remembering that. Anyway, and again, I don't know. We'll see, obviously, when he takes the field and all that, but he's here because he can go sideline to sideline, too. That's kind of what it is.
No, correct. He can move.
And guys fill out in this league. That's kind of been the thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like
correct.
And also with their Jason Taylor had to fill in. Zach Thomas had to fill in a little bit more too. He got a little thicker also when he got here too. So I mean, everybody kind of has to grow. Hell, freaking tractor trailer. Speaking of safeties, went from safety to linebacker to defensive end to defensive tackle. Which, if you think about that, how does that guy go with that frame all the way through that?
That was a crazy transition. But no, here's what I want to say, though. I should have prefaced my comment by saying I'm not mentioning this to be a smartass and say, oh, my God, they made a mistake because the guy's too small. I am only merely pointing it out because as a bigger observation that you can't really get anything from rookie minicamp, especially with the amount of time we're allowed to watch. So that was one thing that I noticed. Yeah, he's going to get bigger, and no, I don't think his size as a rookie is going to be a major detriment, because what he's going to ask to do when he's on the field is run and chase. So that, right. I want and that cover. Out there as well.
And cover.
Correct.
So I think
correct.
That's, I think that, yeah, he's got to do the things that, you know, and in today's, I mean, in today's world, you kind of don't necessarily want a real heavy linebacker in the middle, because the game has changed. The game's a lot faster. There's a little more speed on the field, it seems like, and it's a lot more passing. So the demands of the position also might be a little different too, in other words.
Yeah, and they already have their run down inside linebacker with Alandon Roberts. So they right. what they needed, one of the things they were lacking was a good cover third down inside linebacker to go along with Jerome Baker, and that's what Tindall figures to do as a rookie.
Joseph is asking how Tyreek and Tua teamwork, but this is called rookie camp. So those guys aren't there, right?
No. It's right. nothing but the draft picks, the UDFAs, right. a bunch of guys on tryouts. We will get to see OTA start next week. So we'll get to watch one of the practices next week, and then I can provide a full report on every pass that I may make a point of jotting down and noting every Tua pass to Tyreek Hill.
Well, I'm sure you'll note all the passes, not just to Tyreek. So yeah, I'm sure you guys will be scrutinizing every single little thing that he does out there. So I'm sure we'll get the full report. All right. Anything else kind of stood out from rookie camp? Anybody, Eric Uzukama? Okay, one guy's not as big. How big is Eric?
No, it looks like he's got good size. I mean, he's bigger than Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle. He's not like a jumbo size wide receiver.
How far like a little off bit short. From Parker is he?
He's similar to Parker, maybe a hair shorter, a hair thicker from what I could see.
Okay.
So, right. And then the draft of Cameron Good looks – Cameron Good is a lot thicker than Channing Tindall.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, all right. And those are your four draft picks. But, again, we'll see more as the days and weeks and months. You
How
know,
about the undrafted cat? Anything there? Catch your attention? I don't know. If you took some notes.
I'd be lying. Yeah, I'd be lying if I took. Again, they go, remember, we were there for 25 minutes with nothing but stretching. There's nothing. There's really not a whole lot. There's nobody that jumped out to me like as, my God, he's huge, or my God, he's really small.
And no injuries that stood out right from the get-go, right? Anybody sidelined or wrapped up or anything right from the get-go? That didn't catch your eye
either,
right?
Nope.
That's good. All right. Yeah, sounds good. All right. By the way, moves-wise, anything else are you hearing? Are they bringing anybody in? Are they still searching for any specific positions?
I think they're kind of in a holding pattern right now. Looks like Connor, we spoke to Matt Applebaum yesterday along with Sam Madison and Daryl Bevel, the QB coach, and it looks like they're moving guys all over the place on offense, including Connor Williams at center, and maybe he winds up getting a long look there. Maybe that's the answer there, and they go with possibly Eichenberg at right guard, and Rob Hunt at right guard, Eichenberg at left guard, and then with Armstead at right at left tackle, Austin Jackson at right tackle. So that could be a possibility. My guess is they might revisit.
No Connor.
No, Connor would be the center under that scenario. If they decide. So that's a possibility. That's one way they could go. My guess is they're going to go through the offseason program, develop a comfort level for what they have or still need along the offensive line, and then maybe revisit the J.C. Treader idea. And for him, somebody brought up that point to me, which makes a whole lot of sense. If you're J.C. Treader, who barely practiced last year because he had knee issues, even though he played 16 of the 17 games, are you really in a hurry to sign with anybody right now and put yourself through the offseason program? When you're a guy who's been around in the league and where training camp will be more than enough for him to get ready?
Probably not. You're right. And maybe, and you know what? Now that I think about it, it's not like anybody's signing. So it's not like the money's drying up. Whatever money's left is left already. And the kind of salary he's asking for is very manageable, that you can kind of play with it with signing bonuses anyways, right? Because if he's asking for $4.5 million, $6.5 million, $7 million, then that's manageable, where you can pay half the salary now and the other half's the signing bonus that you break up or something like that. So it's not really a cap crippling number anyway for whoever might be interested.
No, and then especially now teams that are doing this thing of like of signing a guy to a 2-year deal, quote unquote, when it's really a 1-year deal, and they tack on the second year to make it more cap friendly. So, and if you look around the league, there are a lot of big names still unsigned. Jadeveon Clowney, OBJ, Shredder's another one, and I'm sure there are others right now who escaped me. So you could see some of that. And right now, since like the offseason programs are in full swing, it could be that most teams are like, okay, let's get through the offseason program, reassess, and then those guys will wind up getting signed either in June or early July before the start of training camp.
What'd you think of the Jarvis Landry deal with the New Orleans Saints?
It's a great move for them. I love Jarvis Landry as a player. I think he got signed to too rich a contract by Cleveland for my taste for what he does. But the guy's a bulldog.
What he does, he's awesome at what he does. As long as you don't over-assess what he does. And that was our discussion down here. Like, we have people that wanted to pay him like a number one. And then those of us that were in the camp, like, dude, yeah, we like him, but he's not a number one. You don't give him that kind of money. I'm sorry. You know, you just don't. And that's kind of the whole thing, because you love the way he plays, the way he sells out. It reminds you a lot of Jimmy Butler, that when he takes the court, you know that he's just going to leave it all out there every single time. But you have to understand who he is. Yeah, complete bulldog, yeah.
Here's the thing. He's a great complementary wide receiver. And then you team him up in New Orleans with Michael Thomas, if he ever comes back from that injury, and Chris Olave, their first round pick. That's a pretty nice trio right there.
Oh, no, I'm with you. It's just Michael Thomas has got to stop being an idiot, bro. Jesus Christ, dude. It's like
you've been a super diva.
Yeah, bro. But if you're going to be a receiver, dude, I want to be a receiver in Sean Payton's offense. I know he's no longer there now, but what I'm saying is, brother, I mean, if you're an offensive player, don't you want to play for freaking Sean Payton? I mean, come on, bro. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. It just makes no sense to me. You know what I mean? Like Jameis Winston, I feel terrible for him because he went through such, you know, this whole thing where he couldn't figure things out and he was making all these mistakes. And it looked like this guy figured him out last year, because I think the interception to touchdown ratio was 4-1, bro. Payton is a hell of a coach.
And then he tore his ACL, you know, like a bad break when things were going right for him.
Exactly. I mean, it's just it'll be interesting to see if it's Allen, right? The defensive coordinator guy that took over for him, right? If I'm correct, the former Raider guy. Right? Yeah, Dennis Allen. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting.
Who once interviewed for the Dolphin head coach job.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with that offense now that the man is gone. You know what I mean? How much does his influence still lay there, or does it completely change? I don't even know who the OC is. Do you know who the OC is?
It's funny. I was thinking the exact same thing as you were talking about Sean Payton and the new offense. I'd be lying to you if I said I did.
Yeah. I don't remember now who the OC is. All right. Is there outside of the Treader move? Because obviously that's the obvious one that we all talk about. Is there another move you would like to see them make? They do have the money.
Well, they can certainly add an edge defender if they wanted to. Melvin Ingram's still out there, and it's not because they haven't investigated that possibility. I mean, holy smokes, they bring in the guy every year, it seems.
Yeah, they brought Hicks in.
I can certainly
brought a couple guys in, right?
Akeem Hicks, yeah. I can see any of those moves. Yeah, because I know they brought back Jen Jenkins to help with the run defense, but Akeem Hicks better than John Jenkins. So I think those are two moves that could be revisited. As I mentioned, Clowney's out there as an edge. I think there might be more interest in Melvin Ingram at this stage. And Melvin Ingram was actually very effective for the Chiefs last year after they got him from Pittsburgh. I think that's a move I could see happen. But again, I'd be surprised if anything happened before the end of the offseason program.
All right. What are you working on at Sports Illustrated so folks can check you out?
Well, I got a mailbag coming up this afternoon. And then this morning, I did a story on from the people who put the NFL schedule together, the VP of broadcast schedule. And I don't remember the exact title, but they talked in detail about how they put the NFL schedule together. And there were a lot of interesting nuggets involving the Dolphins in there related to Thanksgiving, Christmas, how they wound up on Christmas, how Amazon really wanted the Dolphins to have a Thursday night game at home, which they didn't get, how the Dolphins requested for their opener to be at home because they wanted to clear the stadium for week two because of the possibility of a Lady Gaga concert at the Hard Rock Stadium, and the Dolphins didn't want to start off road game. So, yeah. and a bunch more. There were a whole lot of really good nuggets in there. So I put that up this morning. I certainly encourage everybody to check it out at alldolphins.com.
Will Gaga dive off from the top of the stadium to start her concert here at Hard Rock?
I don't know. I don't even know that there will be a concert because after I found out that nugget, I went online and Googled Lady Gaga concert tour, and there's no day scheduled for Hard Rock Stadium yet. I don't know if there's still negotiations, fell through.
Was there a gap that date was available still is what I'm saying. Did you see any dates on that date or around it? So is it open, in other words?
No, there's a date. There's a date around there, like maybe a week before or 4 days before, which might be Atlanta. So certainly would be the next logical.
Normally what they have is they have
leg of the tour.
They have two sets of stages. So when you're in Atlanta, they're already preparing the Miami one. And then the Atlanta one gets torn down and goes to the next stop after. So that's usually what they do with these kind of enormous type of stadium setups. They usually have a couple of them. So one is on top of the other, setting up ahead of time. So, yeah. So it's not one. You just got to see if there was a gap, then they're still negotiating it, obviously, because that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to bring Gaga in. All right. So you had an article on SI, which, by the way, all of you Dolphin fans around the stinking world. OK, you need to bookmark the All Dolphins page on Sports Illustrated. All right. And one of them you have there, it says, have the Dolphins found the answers at running back? So I would imagine this is after the Sony Michel edition. So after you look at that group now, what is the assessment of Alan Pupar and the Miami Dolphins running game?
I'd say 70% level of confidence. I would tell you that this group of running backs is better than what they've had since, man, I don't know since when. I mean, it's been a long time since Ricky and Ronnie, maybe. The running backs they've had have not been great. And I absolutely love the Sony Michel signing. I think he's a really good player.
The Ajayi year, but that's just one guy.
And they had Kenyon Drake as a rookie.
Really, you didn't know how to use the other kid. The Alabama kid that they got in the fourth round.
Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That combination could have been pretty good, you know what I'm saying, over that stretch there, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Well, and also let's not forget that year Big O, though, their offensive line was Brandon Albert, Laramie Tunsil, Jermon Bushrod, Mike Pouncey, and Juwan James, four first-round picks, bunch of guys who had made the Pro Bowl. So that's also the best offensive line the Dolphins have had in eons.
The Omar named unicorn line whenever they were actually healthy. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it's a little stretch for the nickname for my taste, but it was a great offensive line.
Having fun with it, but yeah, exactly.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you.
I get it. So you think they're 70%? So you're decently.
Yeah, I'm a little. Yes, I'm a little nervous about Raheem Mostert's health. Okay. Yeah, that's concerning. And then if he can't go back to being the guy he was, or have his speed, which is his calling card, now you're left with Chase Edmonds, who is a pure complimentary back. Let's not kid ourselves. And then Sony Michel, who I like a lot, who I think is the best running back on the roster, even though he's the last one to sign.
He's got
to
stay healthy too, and he's got to hang on to the ball, and he's got to, you know, it's a shame because you're so right. He's so talented. I was a big Sony Michel fan coming out of school, but obviously he has underachieved. Those are the facts, dude. We just can't do anything about it. You know what I'm saying? But it's a real shame because talent that kid doesn't lack at all.
He's had spurts though. He's had stretches where he's been really, really good, and then all of a sudden he'll like disappear. But you hope that, you know, that he can string it together. But I think the potential is there for a good running game, and of course it helps that the offensive line is going to be better. You have a head coach who's going to be committed to the running game more so than the guys in the past. So again, there's reason for optimism for the running game, no question.
Yeah, I'm excited for play design because I think that's going to also give all the players, offensive line, running game, quarterback, receiver, everybody, it's going to give them an advantage because these guys really, you know, Mike McDaniel understands play design. And I think that's incredibly important part of the game because it's cerebrally, it challenges everybody else on the other side without their players having to make an incredible effort. And then that they can then build on whatever mistake they force that defense into thinking. So for me, play design also incredibly important, something that I didn't think there was any rhyme or reason to what the Dolphins were doing the last few years on offense.
And another factor also is going to be the speed you have on the outside, which is going to make defenses honest. And that's going to help the running game. Even Tyreek Hill could have a game where he doesn't catch a pass, but just his presence on the field and the respect that the defense has to give him will help the running game, and he's going to contribute that way, even if he doesn't catch many passes in a particular game.
Oh, no doubt. As that safety has to cheat a little to one side, that opens it all up for the tight end and everybody else and Eric Uzukamna and all these other guys to take advantage. And they're all going to have one-on-ones, bro. So, you know, that's what this whole league is all about. You're one-on-one, beat your man. Beat your man.
Get
some separation, and boom, quarterback should find you with no problem. So, you know, that's what should be. All right, what are you working on at Sports Illustrated so folks can check it out?
You asked me that already, but I'll gladly say it again. Dolphin mailbag this afternoon, and then check out the story I did on insights on the 2022 Dolphin schedule and how it came about with all sorts of really cool nuggets.
There you go. And follow him on Twitter at PoopHeartNFL. And catch him twice a week doing his thing here for Sports Grill. Alan, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend, my man.
You got it. You too, baby. Be good.
This has been the Sports Grill Miami Dolphins Insider Report with Alan Poupard, exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and never miss a report. Search Big O Radio Show on most platforms. Visit Sports Grill in our sponsored locations in Miami on Bird Road and 114th, and in Miami Lakes in the Royal Oaks Plaza.